Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
One Irish retail business has managed to get around staff shortages by hiring people with a criminal conviction or who come from a background of addiction. The business has also put in place additional supports and programmes to help those with disabilities to work in one of their 70 stores in Ireland. And Brian O'Connell was in their Waterford shop yesterday and he joins me now. Hello, Brian.
Morning, Claire.
So tell us about this company.
Well, the company's Mr. Price, their retail discount store, have over 70 shops in Ireland. And I suppose post-COVID, like a lot of retailers, really, they found it very hard to get staff. So over a year ago, they connected with a social enterprise called Spiranua. It was set up by a man called Damien Quinn. Damien had spent time in prison some 15 years ago for possession of a large amount of cannabis. And after he finished his sentence, he found work opportunities quite limited. And he set up this organisation a few years ago, I suppose, to help break down barriers, to help get people into meaningful employment. His organisation has now referred 70 people to Mr. Price in the last 12 months. The vast majority have continued with the company and some have gone on to become managers. So it's a really good news story. Now, before we meet some of them, I met with operations director of Mr. Price, Adele McSorley, yesterday. And she told me, Claire, how all of this came about.
So we started doing work experience programmes for disabled adults, which just opened up our eyes that there's an untapped talent pool out in our communities and that we can look at doing jobs differently. So we don't have to think about everything the traditional way, and everybody doesn't have to be good at absolutely everything. So we worked on that programme for a good number of years, and then roll on post-COVID when there was a crisis in employment. And we either had the choice of reducing our trading hours or looking at other untapped talent pools. And that's exactly what we did.
You partnered with an organisation.
Yeah, we partnered with an organisation because the individuals have already discounted themselves from the jobs market. So our partners work with individuals, make sure they're ready for the job market, and then introduce them to us where we have an inclusive approach. So with addiction and prison, we have over 70 people through a partnership with Spiranua. In terms of disability, over 400 colleagues have come through the programme, and that's 17% of our workforce, and we're not finished yet.
How has it changed the company?
We have this amazing culture, a culture where everybody is welcomed.
You have seen lives changed.
Absolute transformations, people that I absolutely cannot believe. And then to hear the colleagues talk about how good the person is at working, you know, how they fit it in, it's fantastic.
Because it really goes to the heart of whether or not society really is forgiving.
In many respects, it's not forgiving when we think about a bracket of people and we say somebody in addiction and we think about somebody maybe who's still struggling and we blame them for the addiction as opposed to it being an illness. But when you meet an individual and you get to know them and you love their personality and they become your friend, the addiction isn't even seen anymore.
Now, you met two employees, Brian, from very different backgrounds who for various reasons struggled to engage with employment previously. So tell us firstly about Gary.
Well, Gary Coleman is a duty manager with Mr. Price now, but for 20 years, Gary had a history of addiction and crime. He spent time in prison during his addiction. He told me first about when he knew he needed to beat his addiction or else his addiction would have got the better of him.
I think it came to a point where I was like really, really sick. Not just mentally, but physically now, it was starting to take its toll as well. I was like about 6 stone, I'd say. When you come close to death, you know you're coming close to death because you'll feel it. Like you get the sense of it.
You manage to get on top of your addiction. You try and look for work like a lot of people would. And what were you being told? What kind of response were you getting?
I wasn't getting most, 90% of the time, you weren't getting a response. And they'd never really tell you it's because of your background or because of your history. But the reality was, a lot of HR companies will Google your name or they'll know. Like, and it was just getting no, time after time.
What was the difference with Mr. Price?
Well, they didn't care about my convictions or what I'd done in the past. Never asked once. And even when I was trying to tell her about it, she didn't want to know.
So you came in here at the ground floor?
I came into ground floor in January as a sales assistant. Never had any experience in retail. So I got the opportunity to become a duty manager. And I became a duty manager here maybe about 2 or 3 months ago.
What difference has it made to your life, Gary? I'd imagine your life before and after, it's like night and day.
It's night and day, but you have a bit of structure, you have routine, you have responsibilities. It gives you money at the end of the week to pay your bills, to pay your rent. Yeah, you're living in the real world. Lots of self-respect, your self-esteem becomes really good. When you're in addiction and when you're sitting outside a shop with a cup and you're homeless, you feel less than anybody that passes you. You do not feel equal. But now I feel equal. I feel part of the community. I feel part of Mr. Price. I feel part of the wider society. I think employers need to start looking at this. If we really want to change society, it starts with small little random acts of kindness, meeting someone and giving them a chance.
Well done to Gary, and it's great to hear him doing so well. And the retailer has been proactive as well in hiring people who are living with a disability. And Brian, you met Michael.
Yeah, and I just to say, along with being a duty manager, Gary is actually training and upskilling, and he's going to help launch a podcast with people working in the organisation who've been helped by the various programmes they have. Now, separately, Mr. Price also are very proactive in terms of supporting people living with disabilities who'd want to engage with employment or engage with training. One of the first people I saw in Waterford yesterday, Claire, behind the till was Michael Phelan. And everyone told me how the transformation in Michael was extraordinary since he began working. Now, I had a chat with Michael and with his manager.
I came here from the National Learning Network on work experience. And after a year and a half of work experience, I got a job here part-time.
You must have done something right.
Yeah, I was very shy when I first started.
Well, kind of give me a sense of how shy you were.
So I wouldn't nearly talk to anyone for the whole day. I found it hard to connect with people. But then the more and more I started coming in and the more tasks I used to do, I started coming out of myself and I'd be talking to people. And now I...
No, they can't stop you talking.
No, they can't stop me talking. I talk too much now. So because I was diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder when I was 14, I left school at 17. I found the entire environment of school too overwhelming.
So what was the difference here then, Michael? Like, what was it about the environment that helped you become the person you are today?
It was the inclusive nature that everyone is given the same chance in here. You can go at your own pace and we can adapt it.
Because I saw you earlier serving customers and you're very outgoing now and personable and you seem very confident in it.
Yeah, so I actually love serving customers because I can communicate with them.
Can you describe what living with autism is like?
At times it's really intimidating. The world, I think, is not built for people with autism and we just need to adapt and learn how to live in this world that's not built for us. The more you do certain things, you get more relaxed and comfortable.
Working for the past year and a half, what difference has it made to your life?
So I have structure in my life and a routine.
Is that important?
Yes. So I think without a structure or a routine, you go into depression and anxiety starts spiraling. And I have something, I have to do it. It's my role in society.
And what about the few bob, Michael?
That's lovely as well, to go to all the concerts I love.
Michelle Ryan, I'm the assistant manager here and I kind of manage the whole of the DEI section.
Tell me about the first day Michael arrived in.
Michael arrived in, he was very quiet, very, very scared, would not make eye contact with anyone. It's just a lovely feeling to know that we're helping him come into his own. And then it's the same with Ben, and we also have Dylan here as well. And they've just made a major difference to the workplace.
Now, finally, Brian, they've developed a model here working with people that seems to be working for them as well. Could it serve as a model for other employers?
Well, I think it could, and I think the Waterford store may now become a sort of a training centre, if you like, for some of their 70 stores around the country. I mean, I looked at research last year published by the Irish Penal Reform Trust, and they pointed to what they called secondary punishment. So if we go back to people who are living with convictions, they say the lived experience for people with convictions would be that 95% of those people feel there were barriers to employment. For often prisoners, and I've met many prisoners, including prisoners who would have served life sentences. And what they often tell you, Claire, is that they can complete a lot of courses. They can do a lot of work on themselves inside in prison and when they come out. But they're often kind of bounced from course to course, and what they want actually is meaningful employment. And with that, then the chance of reoffending decreases significantly. So I suppose with this, with a high retention rate in Mr. Price so far, there is this huge social dividend. But obviously as well, I mean, let's be honest, the business here is fulfilling a staffing need, as Adele McSorley explained.
There's massive lessons. Culture is everything. And unless you include everybody, you really can't have a fantastic open culture. And all of our outcomes come from that, our sales, our customer satisfaction, our staff satisfaction. So there's absolutely an untapped talent pools that a lot of businesses are struggling to get staff.
Have you looked at statistics, Adele, in terms of how many people have come in?
Yeah, so the statistics in terms of retention is over 90%. So when you offer somebody an opportunity, they really want to hold on to it.
90%?
90%, yes. And those that didn't work out, it might have been the environment was too loud, and we try to adopt certain elements of it, but sometimes it's just not the right environment for people,
yeah.
And we're not for everybody.
Because you're a front-facing public role as well.
Absolutely.
But I could see with Michael, I mean, he was saying when he came in here first, he would not make eye contact with anybody. He would not communicate with any of his colleagues.
So I suppose it's a lesson that we can teach and we can learn. And particularly for our colleagues with autism, like, there may not be social cues in the beginning, but we can do role play and teach. And then that becomes the norm over time. So we have seen transformations.
So you're rolling out a podcast now based on your experience, where you're going to have testimonies from people who've come through.
Yeah, a lot of our colleagues are going to be interviewed, and they're going to tell about their journey into employment and why employment matters and what the purpose of employment is and the fulfilment of it. But we will also have people from outside partners and people with lived experience that will help us to reinforce our values.
And thanks to Adele and everyone who spoke to Brian O'Connell for that report. Coming up, why marriage is out of fashion in China.
51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.